A question was once asked by a charity record. I believe it was 1984. This time of year, Christmas time, 1984. The charity record by Band-Aid asked this question. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Actually, there's been statements been picked apart by many comedians since, tongue-in-cheek, because it's quite a silly statement in itself. But we understand why, the sentiment, why it was asked. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? But there are many areas, many, many, many areas of the world that are in poverty or in wealth that do not keep any kind of a festival called Christmas. Many areas. One country where they keep Christmas, although they have to be careful as to who they offend, in America, where they say happy holidays quite a lot, there was no such thing as Christmas in America until the immigrants brought it there. Until the word was passed on of this festival. Also at this time of year, parents especially, but also husbands and wives, try and hide the presents they have bought for the kids and each other. It's a nightmare trying to hide things. You know, when we see in the films, on the TV and the cinema set at Christmas time, all these people are going to these department stores and everything's being gift wrapped for them. I know they've started doing that now, but it must cost a fortune to have that done up. Maybe I'll have that done one year. Because I hate wrapping things up. I can't do it. But that's not the reality, is it? We're trying to hide things. We're trying to hide presents until we can get round to wrapping them up. And particularly if, like me, you don't have lots of space, it's extremely difficult to keep the presents a secret. You do run out of sock drawers in the end. Sometimes, unfortunately, things are stumbled across and people have to pretend that they didn't see it. I vividly remember, true story, one Christmas time when I was growing up, and my brother said to me and my sisters, I've found where the presents are hidden. And I think it is a long time ago, it's getting longer now. I think we did go and have a look at the presents, to our shame. He was so pleased with himself that he'd found where they were hidden, and he had to tell us. I suppose we'd have to join in the crime, wouldn't we? Sometimes things that are hidden from your sight, though, are actually so close. When you realise afterwards, you realise they were staring you in the face. They were so close. And after they are revealed to you, you think, how did I never notice that? How did I never notice that? Or when you go in the shop with someone, how did I not see you buy that when I was with you? Have you had that said to you? The title of today's message is The Mystery Unraveled. The Mystery Unraveled. Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to 1 Timothy and chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we read the last verse, verse 16 of that chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Today we look at a mystery revealed. God was manifest in the flesh. God is known now. God is revealed now. God manifests himself, brings himself to light. The word of God in Romans 16 also speaks of this same word of this mystery, speaks of this message, this revelation of Christ that is kept secret since the world was made until the time of revelation, until the time of manifestation. So firstly today we see, when we look at this statement that God was manifest in the flesh, that this mystery has now been brought to light, has been revealed. For this mystery means to be kept away, to be kept from light, to be kept from view, to be hidden. It literally means to be hidden. This will of God to save his people from their sins, and how he would do it, has been now revealed. And firstly we see this means, this mystery revealed, this manifestation means to know God. To know God. That's why I emphasised and overemphasised and overemphasised some more earlier on when we read in Genesis 1 and John 1. This is God. But he also is man. But this man we look at is not just a man. He's not just some good man that we can follow after the pattern of. He is God Almighty. It means to know God. To know God. Think on this. Don't be blasé with the words. To know God. How about that? To know God. Do you know God? What do you know about him? Do you believe in him? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know God? You know me, but you don't know me. I know me. I know me. And I wouldn't want you to know me. This sinful man. And would you want me to know you? But this statement tells us, when we are brought by God's grace to believe, we know God. We may not understand and comprehend God fully, for nobody comprehends God, but we can know God truly in all his attributes, in all his ways. Would you know God? Would you be one who would know God? Would you know God? Would that be the longing of your heart now? Would you know God? Then look to his Son, the Lord Jesus. For the message of Bethlehem is to know God. This is the message of this child. He is God made known, visible. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus goes on to say to one of his disciples a little later, he who hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see, God is spirit. God is spirit. Nobody can look upon God. But the failing words of a man in a carol that cannot, like no song, no hymn can do justice to this, comes a little close when it says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. But not just that, he chose to do this. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I don't care who I upset. I will not ever countenance and be pleased with people calling people Emmanuel. How can someone's name mean Emmanuel? It is blasphemy. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. If we didn't understand that, Matthew tells us, being interpreted God with us. How dare they? How dare they call their kids Shiloh? And all the rest of these names. You notice nobody ever picks out their Bible names and calls their daughter Jezebel. Well, that's a Bible name, is it? Or Goliath? Now, let's know our place. This one who has humiliated himself, for this is the humiliation of the Saviour. He comes in frail flesh. Have you ever wondered to yourself about those words in Luke chapter 2, when we read a little bit later on, when the Saviour, I think it's Luke 3, sorry, and they go to the temple. He's about 12 years old, the boy Jesus. And they go to the temple and he's found debating and talking with the doctors in the temple, and they don't realise until perhaps a couple of days later that Jesus isn't with them. And quite rightly, because he was living the perfect life of a child, his parents say, they tell him off. Did you not know we're worried about you? And Jesus says, did you not know I should be about my Father's business? But then we read, he was subject to them. The Lord of glory was subject to Joseph and Mary. Can you take that in? I don't think I can. But he humiliates himself because he has a work to do. You see, man, by being in a state of total depravity without God, total depravity in sin, is spiritually blind to God. The mind and heart being darkened to God. And the Bible says of all in the natural state, being estranged from God. Estranged is a horrible word. When we use it in daily life, it's a horrible word, to be estranged. estranged, totally apart from God. The scriptures say in Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. We don't learn this. We don't learn this sin. We are sin. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Anyone who's had a child who is honest will know that that infant lies. An infant lies. An infant cries when they are hurt, one type of cry. An infant cries when they are hungry, another type of cry. An infant cries when they are uncomfortable and they need changing, another type of cry. An infant demands to be picked up when it's sleep time. Nothing wrong with them. They are lying. Selfishness. And this never changes with each one of us. All except this infant. All except this infant. He's the only infant mild and obedient. He's the only infant with who is no trouble to his parents. What a sad statement at this time of year, especially to say that someone is estranged from their family. You hear it all the time. Someone's estranged husband, their estranged wife, their estranged son or daughter. What a sad thing. But you know, that is what we all are naturally in relation to God. We are estranged from God. And you know, until God illuminates our mind and heart, we like it so. Some fool was on the radio this morning saying, lamenting why there are no Christian-based Christmas cards hardly in the shops anymore. Well, I actually said from my bathroom, I'm pleased, because most of them are rubbish and they lead people astray, teaching them false things anyway. But how can you force people? How can you force people to believe a certain way when they don't like it so anyway? Grace and truth came by Christ, not a law. Not a law. All are strangers to the God of creation, but in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God reveals himself to a people that he gives faith to believe. As he came upon those shepherds, what did they say when they most certainly believed? Because they didn't believe before. They weren't looking for Jesus. What did they say? Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that Gabriel has told us. In fact, Gabriel is not mentioned, by the way, in Luke 2 there. The angel of the Lord. That's for another time. But what did they say? Whether it be the angel saying those words, being the instrument to say those words, or whether it be a preacher saying it. What did they say? Let us go and see this thing that has come to pass, that the Lord has made known to us. That's what they said. God spoke to them. And now they knew who his Son was. You see, I can't reveal Jesus to anyone. God must speak, and God alone. Do John 1 tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." This is truly a mystery. This is truly a mystery. You can have all the illustrations all you like to try and explain it, but you cannot explain it. It is truly a mystery. That's why it can only be believed by faith. Because it is foolishness to the wise. That God should come in the flesh to take upon himself a fleshly body and nature. God Almighty. For man was banished from the presence of Almighty God because of the fall into sin. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead spiritually. And so lost, without hope and without God in the world. And you know, wondrously, those passages of scripture I've just quoted are speaking in the past tense to those who believe now. That was once their state. They once were dead in trespasses and sins. They once had no hope and were without God in the world. And if you know this Saviour, that was once your state, but now you are in a different state now. As Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." The Almighty God said to our first father Adam, for whom sin entered the world before the fall, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." From that moment onwards, man has been dead, without hope and without God in the world. You see, you may think you are alive. You may think you have a full life, or a not so full life. But you may think you are alive. But if you know not God, you don't have life in its fullness. Eternal life. There is no eternal life without knowing God. For in that day you shall die. Eternal life is cut off from man from that point. Without knowing God, there is no eternal life. And there is no knowing God without knowing his Son, whom he has sent. For he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Whatever religion, whatever philosophy, whatever Christianity, whatever tradition, no one comes to the Father except through me. Just like that bouncer at the door of the nightclub that people will go to on Christmas Eve. If he decides you cannot come in, you cannot come in. Through him. And I know. Sadly, at this so-called season of Christmas, we see religious fools, and they are fools. They really are fools. They are worse than the total blasphemer. Religious fools speaking of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, who are yet strangers to him. Strangers. And there are many of them in organized Christian religion. They haven't got anything in there. They've barely got anything up there. They might have the learning of this world, but they haven't got the learning of God. Strangers to God and his saving grace. the birth of Christ, the mystery of his incarnation, God manifest in the flesh, shows that there is but one God and but one way. But one way of eternal life. One way to know him, which is to know God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The definition of knowing God is summed up perfectly by the Saviour. The definition of knowing that you know God is summed up perfectly by the Son of God. It is summed up to have everlasting life itself. For Jesus prayed to his Father for those he came to reveal himself to. I do not pray for the world, I pray for them that thou hast given me out of the world. That crazy man in the dress at Canterbury knows nothing of this, let alone Antichrist in Rome. It's all of the same spirit. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life. Do you know God then? Has this Jesus been revealed to you? For this is the mystery being revealed. God, Christ in you. Secondly, a wondrous mystery is unravelled here, which is peace with God. Peace with God. How could it be? Peace with God. Man has been banished from God. Peace with God is what the mystery of godliness brings. But there is no peace. There can never be any peace, physical, worldly, any kind of peace, let alone peace with God, without a peacemaker, without one who's willing to step in and make that peace, to bring two sides together. God was manifest in the flesh is so important a fact that Paul says, under inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, without controversy. We must not debate this. We must not take this from our Bibles, which I'm afraid sadly has been taken from most of them today, weakened and ripped out. It is without controversy, for upon this hangs everything of who this Jesus really is. God is manifest in the flesh. It's so important a fact. But why? Why is it so important a fact? Why was it so important that the Son of God came in the flesh actually? Not just appeared in the flesh, as false teachers claim. He would be nothing more than a ghost. Can't do anything. What does Jesus say to his disciples after his resurrection? Handle me. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. He ate with them. A mere spirit appearing cannot eat. Why is it so important that he came in the flesh actually, truly? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Now you may not have thought this before, but just think, this verse here proves that Jesus came actually in the flesh. doesn't say it in those words, but just see what the words are saying. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And from this statement we have had to be, sorry, from this statement we see that he had to be made flesh and blood to bring this salvation. Otherwise 1 Timothy 1 is a lie. 1 Timothy 1:15 would be a lie. He cannot save unless he be flesh and blood. This unravelling of a mystery of God becoming a man is absolutely essential for him to save his people from their sins. Had Christ not been revealed in the flesh fully, then the salvation in and through him would not have been revealed. In fact, could not have been achieved. Because a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, must be offered to appease the wrath of God, to atone for sin. God is spirit. God isn't flesh and blood. So God cannot save unless he become flesh and blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness, says the scriptures. No forgiveness or peace with God without the shedding of blood. That's why Noah was given those words way back when. The life is in the blood. No forgiveness or peace with God without the shedding of blood. He must be made flesh and blood. And in the light of this, long before he came into the world, as we've read earlier on in the psalm, we see he says of himself manifest in the flesh. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Hebrews 10:5. He came in the flesh to be a sin-bearing substitute. He came to do what his people could never do, to overcome sin and death. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, says 1 John 3:8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, what, just to appear, just to influence a man, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And that's why the Son of God, the mystery kept secret from the beginning, nonetheless was partially revealed in types and figures and prophecies in the Old Testament. All these promises pointed to the one who would bring man back to God and be an advocate, a go-between, a peacemaker, the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. The message of the birth of Christ is, he is the only hope of salvation and knowing God. The only hope. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We do not deny the deity, full deity of Christ. Otherwise it is to our peril. And also to our peril equally, we do not deny the full and absolute humanity of Christ Jesus. Whether we understand or not, which we do not, understand. It is a mystery, though. It's still a mystery. Christ and Him crucified, bearing His people's sins. And so the question is this: has this mystery been made known to you? Not do you know it? Have you found it? You cannot. You can do nothing to make this known to you. Has it been made known to you? Which the Lord has said, which the Lord has made known unto us. You see, although we read the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, not all are brought to know this mystery. Not all. Many reject Him. Many did reject Him, and many continue to reject Him. For they are called, as the Scripture says, those who are rejected of God. They are reprobate. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. No choosing Jesus, but chosen of God. Nor of the will of man, but of God, born again of His Spirit. Is this you? I don't ask, are you converted? I ask, are you born again? Secondly, do you want peace of mind and heart? I always remember that when we were as kids fighting, our dad always used to say, oh, I just want peace of mind. Just want peace of mind. But do you really want peace of mind and heart? For you can't and won't find it in feasting, in the feasting of Christmas or material gifts. You will not find peace of mind in that. You won't find it in romance. Many people get engaged at this time of year. It does not give peace of mind. Family gatherings quite often bring absolute tension. No peace of mind. Only this Jesus brings true peace. For He said, my peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. And indeed, the world understands not until it comes to the heart. Is there an extra place at your table this season and every day? Is there a place at your table, an extra place, the best place in your life, the table of your life, to know God, the only true God? Do you know this mystery that was kept secret for so long? Has it been revealed to you through faith on Christ, by His grace? Well, if you say, yes, I have, praise God. But don't keep it to yourself. I found the presents. Come and see them. Don't keep it to yourself. Do you know this mystery? Well, then make it known. Make it known. Have nothing to do with the falsehood of this world and the false gospel of this world. Let them know about this gift. Luke 2 tells us of these shepherds. What did they do? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Make it known. Get involved with the work of the church to make it known. Or do you not care? And lastly, I pray God be gracious to you. And that this can be spoken of you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That God no longer be hidden from you. Amen.
Amen.
Our final song this morning is number 14. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.